Oh, well, hello there. I'm Dave Holmes, and welcome to Troubled Waters, the show that treats popular culture as the most important kind of culture because it's probably the one that bums you out the least. Now, back in the before times, Troubled Waters would pit two teams of comedians against one another in a pop culture battle royale. But now, teaming up with another person who is not in your quarantine pod is possibly lethal. It's definitely not cool. So for now, it is one comic against another. We have two comics facing off to win this battle. Each comic will be called upon to use their smarts, their rhetorical skills, the good comebacks that they've been amassing and writing down in a notebook for the last year to earn the coveted Troubled Waters title, Pundit Emeritus. That title automatically gives a person's opinion on, well, let's say the fact that Disney is changing its annual pass program, more weight than a civilian's. You are listening to Troubled Waters. Let's meet our contestants. Our first contestant is a stand-up comic. His debut album, Adorable, is out now. It's Orlando Leyba. Hello.
Hello, buddy. How are you, Dave?
I have truly never been better.
You haven't?
I've never been better in my life. How are you? What's going on?
All is great, I guess, for as great as it can be. Having fun, I'm on your podcast. I'm ready to go, man. I'm hyped.
I love this. Your energy is infectious.
I got notes. I don't know what
notes. You got notes?
I got notes. I don't even know what notes I have.
Okay, well, I guess we're about to find out. That seems like cheating to me, but I'm going to allow it. Our second contestant is an International Waters favorite, also a favorite comic of mine. Her one-woman show that I saw in Los Angeles made me laugh so hard, I made a spectacle of myself. Keep an eye on her socials for upcoming projects. It is Holly Byrne.
Hello.
Well, Holly Byrne.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Orlando. Hi, Christian. I'm good, thank you. It's nearly 7 o'clock here in the evening, and it's been a very cold day in old London town.
You're in the heart of downtown.
I'm in the heart of downtown.
The ghost of hustle and bustle haunts you.
It does. The theatres, they're all shut up, and the peeps who would wander these streets no longer wander.
I am coming to London when all is back to semi-normal.
And I'm coming out with that.
We're going to dance.
Semi-normal, we're going to dance.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right. Holly, Orlando, welcome. Now, folks, you've met our players. It is time to see who has the better grasp of what matters this week, pop culturally speaking. So players, if you're ready, you will each now have a chance to tell me what you think is the most important, the most tragically overlooked story or person or place or thing of the last week or two. Orlando, what you got?
I got Nicole Kidman playing Lucille Ball.
Okay, talk to me about it.
It just kind of made a splash, but because of everything that's going on, and I was just like, wow, that's the casting that you're going to choose for the great Lucille Ball, you know, someone that in real life had a lot of facial movements and a very big mouth, the real Lucille Ball, and a lot of energy. And even if she was sad, you could see it. And then you cast Nicole Kidman, which she's basically played the same in her last two shows, the same person she's played as, with very minimal facial movements. I was like, oh, no one kind of noticed that have we forgotten how wonderful Lucille Ball was as a human being? But someone, and we're gonna hire the person that can only maybe frown, you know, because I don't know, I'm not saying she can't play Nicole Kidman can't play Lucille Ball, maybe she just plays a very I really don't know. But a haunted
version of Lucille Ball.
Yes,
who has maybe committed murder.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And it's trying to cover it up, like low-key, because, you know, there's enough money. We could cover this up. So it's either
Orlando.
That.
Or,
yes, Holly.
Orlando, look, here it is. If you'd been in a relationship and you were married to a man who was the leading figure in a cult, would your face work now? You see, do you see what I mean? I mean, to be honest, she's lived through a lot. She's got rid of all her expressions having to deal with the little one, hasn't she? She's used all her muscles up just bearing with him. Yeah? Yes. Even just looking down on him, she it's a long way to go down there, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think she might have done one of those clear activities and she held on to those wands because, you know, in that cult or that religion for tax purposes, they hold on to little wands and they tell the truth. And I want to assume that
she's held on too hard and she's just got rid of all her muscles and her face. Yeah, it's really a tragedy. It's not really something you should be laughing about, is it?
Yeah, no, it isn't. But, you know, they cast her to play Lucille Ball, the most greatest facial expressionist comedian.
Amanda Leyba brings to the table the legendarily rubber-faced Nicole Kidman.
Allegedly.
Yeah, that's true.
Holly Byrne, what you got?
Hi. Well, I was reading an interesting one. It's actually something that happened in London just this week. Do you know that Gwyneth Paltrow, her legendary Goop brand, you know, of fame, she brought out a candle that's called Smells Like My Vagina. And a woman in North London, she's a media consultant, she's called Jodie Thompson, and this candle exploded. And it caused a fire in her flat, and her and her husband had to chuck it out the window.
They chucked it out the window? I didn't hear that part of the story.
No, they chucked it out the window. The candle exploded and emitted huge flames with bits flying everywhere. I've never seen anything like it, said Jodie Thompson, 50. The whole thing was ablaze and it was too hot to touch. That's what happens with flames, I'm afraid, Jodie. There was an inferno in the room. An inferno. Of course, poor Jodie. Of course, Jodie was a media consultant. Do you know who else is going to buy one of these candles? Media consultant, whatever that means. And her part, she lives with her partner, David Snow, and they threw the flaming candle out the front door, David. Sorry, the front
out
door.
The front door. Thank God there's no hustle and bustle in London might have gotten vagina burns.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is Gwyneth Paltrow should be taken... Gwyneth Paltrow, actually, you know what should happen to Gwyneth Paltrow? She should be impeached. I'm going to say it for crimes against women.
So what do we got? Kidman versus Paltrow? What do we got? Lucy versus Goop? What do you want to say? Is it, what do you want to call it? What's a better, what buzz in words?
Or face versus Nooney?
I think face versus Nooney really, that really
encapsulates it. Fine.
It definitely, it encapsulates it and enraptured me. All right. It is Face versus Nooney on this episode of Troubled Waters. Let's start the show with a round we are calling The Importance of Being Ernie. I had the opportunity to sit down with Winston Zeddemore himself, Ernie Hudson.
I'm Winston Zeddemore, Your Honor. I've only been with the company for a couple of weeks, but I gotta tell you, I have seen shit that'll turn you white.
Monroe Kelly, I'm your great white hunter for this trip, though I happen to be black.
So your body, man, you died. You got buried. Are you some kind of ghost? Boom.
Ernie Hudson?
Yes.
Can I borrow your phone?
Who are you going to call?
That's a big Twinkie.
We decided to engage him in an Ernie Hudson-themed round of This or That. It's very straightforward. Our writers looked up and down and all through his IMDb page, which is deep and unbelievable. They created This or That prompts based off roles that he has played in the past. So I asked him questions, asked him to choose one, this or that. You players will buzz in. You say what your answer would be. If it matches Ernie's, you will get a point. It will make sense once we get started, I promise. You ready? Oh my goodness, Ernie Hudson. I am so glad you are able to join us on Troubled Waters today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, it's good to just talk to people in general. I took it for granted.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's after being so closed in for so long, it's great to just have adult conversations.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we have had our writers diving into your career. You have had, I mean, the credits are as long as my arm. We unearthed a radio ad for what I believe is your 1976 film debut, The Human Tornado. Have you listened to the radio ad lately?
No, I haven't. Are you kidding? I haven't. No.
Are you interested in listening to it? Because
sure, it yeah. Might, no, I didn't even.
It, yeah. it might just provide the lift that your day needs.
Watch out, mister. Here comes the twister.
This is Rudy Ray Moore.
Yes, I'm the Human Tornado. I chain down thunder and handcuff lightning. I'm so damn strong, it's sometimes frightening. I grabbed a star traveling a million miles a minute and slowed it down to the state speed limit. Yes, I'm the Human Tornado.
I mean... he's got a new film out. It's called Redemption Day. It was just released on VOD. Got to talk to him for a little bit about his past roles and his new movie. It was an absolute treat. He is such a nice guy. And now, let's get right up to the present day. You're in a new film called Redemption Day. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah. Well, Redemption Day, Gary Dearden, who is starring in it, worked on my show. I produced a show on BT called The Family Business. And Gary played my nephew. And when I found out this show he was going to be starring in, I really like him a lot. And I was so happy to be able to join him on it. But also the director is from Morocco and had written the story. I read the script and I love the script. And my wife's favorite movie is Casablanca. And the fact that I was shooting in Morocco meant that she was definitely pushing me to do it.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful action movie. I didn't get to kick in the door and shoot people, but I'm the dad, and I'm good with it.
Let's dive in. Here is your first This or That. All right, sequels: Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2 or Miss Congeniality 2: Armed and Fabulous. Okay.
Is that a real film?
Which do you?
The one about the Chihuahuas.
Oh yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'm saying that one.
You're saying that one?
Yeah.
All right. Let's listen to our answer.
You know, probably Beverly Hills Chihuahua, too. Only because I got to play a dog.
Sure.
And or at least voice a dog. And it was kind of interesting to, once again, I kind of like the whole exploration of what is a dog thing? How does a dog respond? And if I really were a dog, you know, and I'm looking at my dog trying to figure out, how would he be in this situation? So I think I love that. I Miss Congeniality, I love the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Love Sandra Bullock, and I'd work with her anytime doing anything.
Yeah.
But a big fan of Sandra's. Just not even so much as an actress, but as a human being. I just think she's beautiful.
Yeah, she seems like a good hang. Okay.
Wow, so, he is things. Full Lee Strasberg, isn't he?
Went absolute dog method.
Yeah. What would a dog think? How would a dog lick?
How would a dog lick?
How would a dog lick?
What does dog sound like? What's he thinking?
How much information is the dog getting by the lick?
Yes. All right. Now, the neither of these is a role that you have played, but you've done the show.
Right.
So Grace or Frankie?
Frankie.
Oh, Orlando's hand went up.
That's not a buzzer. That's not a buzzer, Orlando.
That isn't a buzzer. That isn't a buzzer.
Yeah, the rules.
You should buzz in. Yeah, we got to play by the rules. I'm so sorry.
Go, Holly. Holly buzzed in.
Mm-hmm. I said Grace Frankie. I said Frankie.
And why?
Because I've got the right one, haven't I? She's the kooky one, the sort of, the boho one.
Yeah.
I think that's just a more obvious choice, a fonder. He's never going to go a fonder.
Wow. Well, let's find out.
Well, I love Frankie. I love Frankie.
Yeah.
I love them both for different reasons. I mean, I really admire Jane Fonda. She's just truly amazing. Great career. And just been an inspiration. But Frankie, or Lily Tomlin, She's just beautiful. She's just fun to work with. She's I had met her before I did the show, and when I met her, I like her. As she's down to earth and easy to talk to, and whereas Jane was easy to talk to, but it was always, there was a kind of formality about it that that Lily doesn't have. Lily's kind of Lily, and it felt closer in that sense of connecting. Okay. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Oh, that makes
Jane
sense.
Jane is
she's
royal.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. And I don't think you're not trying to be. She just has that presence. And whereas Lily is, you can roll up your sleeve. I mean, she's just down to, let's just talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
I love this guy. I love this human being. Anybody that orders white flowers in their dressing room, he doesn't like.
That's right. That's right. He'll sniff you out. Let's keep moving. Okay, favorite character name, Israel Bacon or John Wayne Jet Wayne Jr.?
Buzz.
Oh, Orlando.
John Wayne Jet Wayne something Jr.
Yeah, it's just more fun to say,
right? Yes, you have to love a name like that.
You have to love a name like that. Let's find out.
John Wayne Jet Wayne Jr., just because it's so weird.
Yeah.
But Israel Bacon, what was yours, Israel, on? Do you know?
NBA 2K.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I never actually saw it. So,
John Wayne Jet Wayne Jr. It's a fine name.
When they did that NBA 2K, they, they take your whole image and they do all that. And then they made me bald, which was kind of weird. I'm like, why am I bald?
Right.
Anyway, it has nothing to do with anything. I'm just saying.
Listen, we have a tie game and we have an Ernie Hudson who's just, letting it all out.
What a great interview. Interview.
Not afraid to tell me which of his projects he's just never bothered to
what
see.
Was that that thing that he hadn't seen?
Oh, it was a video game, basketball video game.
Mm. Oh, good grief. I don't blame him.
Yeah, right? Okay. Okay, you've had recurring roles on both of these shows. Which one would you reboot? Saint Elsewhere or Desperate Housewives?
Beep.
Ooh. Oh, Holly got in there with a beep.
Holly got in there with a beep.
Desperate Housewives.
Which is not your buzzing word, but I'll take it.
Desperate Housewives.
Desperate Housewives.
I go Saint Elsewhere.
Well, let's see. I mean, you both got an answer in there, so let's just see.
Oh, it's Saint Elsewhere.
Oh, yeah? What? A quick answer on that one.
Yeah, Saint Elsewhere. That? Saint Elsewhere, because I really felt a real part of the story. There was purpose being there. I played a fireman who had been badly injured in a fire. And I really loved Tom Fontana, who eventually produced and wrote Oz. Denzel was on the show. So I had a lot of fun, or I enjoyed working that show. Desperate Housewives, I never really felt connected to anybody. I think they hired me on the show and I did several episodes, but I don't think they really knew what to do with me. The character that I kind of replaced had got another show, and so they brought me in to be the detective. But when he was a detective, he had a relationship. He was stalking me. He had a purpose there. When they brought me in, they didn't really. I didn't know who the character was. I mean, why am I here? I would come in and do something or say something and then disappear. And I liked the people, but I just never felt I got a chance to really work with anyone.
Okay.
That was a disappointing. That was a disappointing show. I mean, I did the show because I wanted to do the show, but it was very disappointing.
Okay.
I love this guy.
He's great, right?
Dave, you've opened up the world of Ernie Hudson to me. You've opened it up.
I did it.
I love this guy.
I think I Barbara Walters'd it.
Why isn't this everywhere? Why isn't this interview everywhere?
It just hasn't been officially released yet, but I think with certain people this is what you have to do.
With
some people, you get them on a nice set with some flowers and a gauzy camera effect, and you try to make them cry. Sometimes you just make them play a podcast game, and they'll just start spilling. Now I'm gonna give you a point for that, even though you didn't win the toss on the buzzer.
No, I got it.
Let's see if he remains the Ernie Hudson of your dreams as we go to our next This or That. Weekend night network television classics. The Incredible Hulk or Fantasy Island?
Well, it's The Incredible Hulk, isn't it? Obviously, it's the Henry Cole. I'd say The Incredible Hulk because it's fascinating. The guy goes green and he gets big and he rips his clothes off.
Okay. I mean, yeah, you've really drilled down to the heart of that show. Let's find out what the answer is.
Oh, Fantasy Island.
Okay.
Oh.
Explain.
Fantasy Island. Well, okay. Incredible Hulk was more fun to do.
Yeah.
Because it was just more action. It was just silly. And, you know, the fight scene and all that. But Fantasy Island, Ricardo Montalban was one of the first shows I worked in. Ricardo was so gracious. Yeah. And I got on the show and they had all these old stars, Howard Duff and a bunch of people. And so I tend to stay to myself. I mean, I'm here to do my job. And I was in my dressing room. And Ricardo came over and he introduced himself and he says, come. And he took me around and he introduced me to everybody so, you know, grandly and said, this is Ernie, you know, my friend. And he sat down and he had lunch with me. And I was blown away. He's the only actor I ever wrote a thank you note to. I was so appreciative of him extending himself.
I mean, a heartwarming story.
Oh, it's too much for a pandemic.
I knew the answer.
Well, why didn't you buzz?
I knew the answer. I didn't want to buzz in. I wanted Holly to get in there and say, yo, I figured him out. I feel like I figured him out. And you, as soon as you said Fantasy Island, I thought Ricardo Montalban, the gentleman. Like, this guy was...
I'm sorry, that name again?
I always say it wrong, and I'm Hispanic.
Okay.
Ricardo Montalban, which he has a great charity called Nosotros that helps out actors of minorities break into the business with acting lessons, voice lessons, script breakdowns and stuff like that. It's a great charity that he set up before he passed away. He was a wonderful human being. And now Ernie confirms it. Took us out to, takes me to lunch. He wrote, you know, amazing.
Come on. And you know that Ricardo Montalban was the kind of person to go, come. You know?
Come on.
I just, like, I knew that about him.
Have you ever ate empanadas? Isn't that a street food? You just plated it like that. That's a nice plate. Yes. These are Colombian.
I love all these Hollywood guys that are coming out as just these nice, genuine guys.
Yes.
How about it? Do we have another? We have one more. Okay. Last but not least. Ernie Hudson, this or that. Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters theme song, Ghostbusters, or Bobby Brown's Ghostbusters 2 theme song, On Our Own.
Buzz.
Oh, Orlando.
Ray Parker's.
Now, why is that? Is that a beloved song for you as well?
Beloved song for me. I gotta feel he's, from what I'm getting from Ernie, he's a guy who's down to earth and he appreciates certain moments in his life. And I want to say he appreciates the original Ghostbusters. So that includes everything about the original Ghostbusters, including the theme song.
Okay. Let's listen for an answer.
Ray Parker's.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bobby Brown, and that was great. Ray Parker. It was the original.
Sure.
Honestly, people say, you must get really sick of that song. I never got sick of that song. I love the song. I can sing the song. And I really like Ray. I like Bobby. I don't know Bobby as well. Ray's a neighbor and a good friend, so I've known him for a while. I didn't know him before we made the movie, but I think it's a great song. I can't imagine Ghostbusters without that song. It's such a part of Ghostbusters.
I'm telling you, Ernie is the type of guy who still talks to his friends that he went to high school with. He's that guy.
Absolutely.
One.
He gets them together once a year. Yes. He picks up a tab.
Yep. 100%.
No questions asked.
This is too much mid-pandemic, isn't it? I mean, to meet a guy like that, wow.
Yeah. I mean, you thought you were finished with the magic of making a new friend. You weren't. You made a new one today. His name is Ernie Hudson. At the end of that round, the scores are, I believe, 4-2. Yes. 4 for Face, 2 for Nooney.
Mm-hmm. I only come out with 2.
You got 2.
Oh, I've got out of my game, I'm afraid, for this one, Orlando.
No, but those two that you got were fantastic.
You're going to be laughing on the other side of your face in a minute.
Whoa, I don't know what that means at all.
I don't know. Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Nicolas Cage movie.
It does. You know, my feeling, I don't know if you saw the trailer for the new one. It's like, Welcome to Ernie's or something like that? It's like he's trapped in a Chuck E. Cheese. And the animatronics come to life, and he has to beat them all to death.
Nicolas Cage. Have you made that up? Is that a real Nicolas Cage film?
I haven't seen this trailer. This could 100% be something that you're making up, Dave. But I believe it's a Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah,
of course you do. Of course you do.
They always sound very unreal, don't they?
Yes,
they really do. My theory on the whole thing. Because the trailer is him just like screaming and hitting things with a bat. And I think that's just his reality. Mm-hmm. And every couple months they just build a set around him and just like, let's see what happens.
I love that story. I know we're going off, but I love that Nicolas Cage story where he moved into a house in New Orleans. And then people came at night and were with candles and they're chanting outside. And he's like, This is weird. This is crazy. These people know that I'm here. And he took off running, like in the middle of the night. He takes off and goes to a hotel and never goes back to the house and sells the house because all these people showed up at the house. It turned out that the house that he bought was a famous house, part of this ghost tour in New Orleans.
No way!
And it was just a tour that doesn't even know that Nicolas Cage is inside.
Oh, and he doesn't know about that. He doesn't do the basic research that you do when you buy a house in a new neighborhood.
Why would you? He owns swords. Nicolas Cage owns swords. You got
lots. Like, he's gone into debt for swords.
For swords.
Like, he's doing movies to pay off swords.
I got Conan's sword, bro. I got to do this movie. I got like that.
Arnold
just not give it to me. He actually, you know. He's holding it till I make the last payment. He just did a commercial with the Conan sword. It's my sword. I have a down payment on it.
Oh, he's an American treasure.
Treasured. So is Ernie Hudson.
So is Ernie Hudson. Yeah. And by the way, our next round, This is a round we are calling a round about sea shanties. Because that's what it is. Now, Holly just got real excited.
I'm here.
Now, maybe you knew this. I myself am not on TikTok because I'm afraid of it. But because of TikTok and its duet function, there has been an explosion in sea shanties that we have not seen since the original heyday of the sea shanty, which was in movies. Now, you may also have noticed that TikTok users only seem to know one sea shanty, and it's the Weller Man. It's a New Zealand sea shanty. So now we are jumping on the bandwagon or the band barge or whatever. We have some friends of the show. We got them to record versions of the Weller Man, but the lyrics have been changed ever so subtly so that the song is not about a Weller Man, whatever that is, but about another type of man. Okay? So we're going to play you the verse. You buzz in if you know the kind of man that the sea shanty is about, and then we'll play the chorus and we'll see if you're right. Again, as with Ernie, you'll be skeptical at first and then you'll fall in love. First up, friend of the show, Danielle Radford, singing about some kind of man. Let's find out.
There once was a meme that got out of hand, a moral panic that it should be banned. A faceless creature in a big black suit, too scary if you're 12.
Faceless creature. Come on, Holly Byrne.
Do we get any clues? Do we get any clues?
This man might be skinny. I think children have gone to prison for him.
Charles Manson?
No. Okay. Well, let's listen to the answer. Let's listen to the answer.
Soon may the Slender Man come to bring us a mythos that's underdone. One day when the murders are done, perhaps he will say sorry.
Slender Man. The Slender Man.
I'm out.
Sorry.
Well,
I'm like you. But maybe I'm like you, Dave. I haven't embraced TikTok at all. I have my name there, but I just haven't.
Oh, I haven't done that. I should have done that. Yeah, but you don't need to know TikTok. You just need to know different kinds of man. You know, okay, so our next one, this next one is sung by our friend Josh Gondelman.
Mm-hmm.
We should have done one that was Josh Gondelman. But he's not singing about Josh Gondelman. He is Josh Gondelman. Here's his shanty. What kind of man is he talking about?
He was a hero in a Broadway show, tune and lyrics written by Bono. But this is a tale of woe. The critics didn't like it.
I didn't know that Broadway Bono show. Had written a Broadway show.
Oh, he sure did. He sure did. Bono on the Edge, as a matter of fact.
Oh, it would have to be
lyrics. For a Broadway show that lasted longer than you would think, and was also like the leading cause of injury in the state of New York for its entire Broadway run, if that helps at all.
Is it like a jukebox musical? Is it about their songs?
No, it's not about their songs. It was original songs. It was original songs. However, the property that it was based around is extremely well known, and there is a new film about this man, like, every year.
Ow!
Three times.
Santa!
Since, no, it's not Santa. God's sake.
Come on, Orlando. Chip in.
Come on.
Spider-Man.
Holly, yes, Spider-Man.
Is that true?
Spider-Man, yes. Yes. See? You're getting it. If I have to drag you through it, you're gonna get it. All right, let's listen to that chorus.
Soon may the Spider-Man come. He shoots out webs, but not from his bum. One day when the movies are done, we'll get a break from Spidey.
Spider-Man.
What
Spider-Man.
House does he live in?
I don't know.
The building? What was the building you said it was about? You said something about the property is very famous building or something.
The property, the Spider-Man property.
Oh, that really
the intellectual property
that threw me off course. Totally threw me off course.
Santa's not a building.
Yeah, you're right. I still said Santa. That's not a building. Fine, we're clarified now. Thank you.
Okay.
But she has one.
All right.
Holly has one.
She has one.
I got a tie. How many more do we have?
4-3. 17.
Okay.
All right. Allie Gertz, friend of the show, has our next C, shanty.
Hear the question asked by fools. How can I carry all my tools? Well, by the thing of which we sing, it's many tools in one.
The handyman.
What kind of man is many tools in one?
Can I say Inspector Gadget Man?
No, because that's not a thing.
Well, I just
you can say it.
I stuck man on the end, you see.
Yeah. I will say this is not an actual man. It's a product with the man at the end.
Do we have them here?
Our British co-head writer wrote this, so you must.
Oh, this is really going to annoy me because I know what this is.
All right, let's listen.
Soon may the leather man come. Who knew pliers could be such fun? Tell your friends and they'll be stunned. It folds up in your pocket.
Is that why I'm not married? Because I don't know any of these men?
They're all single. Okay. All right. Here's our head writer, Riley Silverman. She is singing about a kind of man. Let's listen.
We sing of a place in the Irish Sea. It's a British crown dependency. And the birthplace of all three BGs. Its flag has got three legs on.
Isle of Man.
Way to go, Isle of Man. Holly.
See, even Orlando is excited and he didn't even get the point.
I didn't even get the point.
It is a tie.
Holly, you
it's
delivered
a tie
for your people.
Game.
Thank you, Orlando. Descent. You're so positive, Orlando. You've not got a competitive streak in your body, have you? It's very refreshing.
All right, if one of you gets this, the tie is broken. Number five, what man is Hal Lublin sea shantying about?
There once was a song that I loved so much about wanting to be really butch. It's been ruined by that such and such. He played it at his rallies.
I will say this is by a group of six people who you might see in your village. All different kinds of people.
Village people!
Yes, but what song
yes.
is it?
Oh, shit.
But what's the song?
YMCA!
About being real butch. No.
get boys, boys, boys. The building man. The bad man. The good man. The man on the bicycle. The D-D-I-S-C-O man. Big
no.
Big man.
I'll give you a clue. Who did Hulk Hogan used to wrestle against?
Yeah, that's really not going to help me. You don't. That's not my wheelhouse.
Tortilla chips with melted cheese on them and onions.
Nachos.
On
nachos. Nacho man. But nacho it's. Man. Macho
yes!
Man! Macho, macho man! I wanna be a macho man! Macho, macho man! I wanna be a macho man!
Oh, now listen, Hal's gonna sing the chorus now. It's not. You will have done it.
Oh.
But let's listen to Hal Lublin because he did help us out.
Soon may the macho man come. Macho, 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 macho man. I want to be a macho man. A macho, macho man.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job. Thank you, Danielle Radford. Thank you, Hal Lublin. Thank you, Josh Gondelman. Thank you, Allie Gertz. Thank you, Riley Silverman. Thank you, all of the sailors who have died at sea over the centuries. That was a real journey. And at the end of that round, Holly's got 5 for her nanny, and Orlando's got 4. It's still very tight. It's a very close game. We're going to take a little break because we need it. And we'll be right back.
I'm Jesse Thorne. On the next Bullseye, we've got the one and only Ted Danson. We'll talk about his new show, Mr. Mayor, about Cheers, and about the secret to success in comedy.
I mean, I feel like one of your signature comedic moves at this point in your career is gazing. You do a lot of interesting gazing.
I also love this. Gazing. I love that. And if I'm not, I'm going to start, because that's great.
That's Bullseye. Find it on MaximumFun.org, NPR.org, and wherever you get podcasts.
Hey there, beautiful people. Did you hear that good, good news?
Something about the baby Jesus?
He's coming back!
Or do you mean the fact that Apple Podcasts has named Fanti one of the best shows of 2020?
I mean, we already knew that we was hot stuff, but a little external validation never hurts, okay?
Hosted by me, writer and journalist Jared Hill.
And me, the ebony enchantress myself, Javel Anderson.
Fanti is your home for complex conversations about the gray areas in our lives, the people, places, and things we're huge fans of, but got some anti-feelings toward.
You name it, we Fanti. Nobody's off limits.
Check us out every Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your Slayworthy audio.
Hello and welcome back to Troubled Waters. I am your host, Dave Holmes, with us playing for the idea that Nicole Kidman can play absolutely anyone, including beloved comedic actress Lucille Ball, Orlando Leyba, and playing for Gwyneth Paltrow's Noonie Candle, Holly Byrne. She's got 5 points. He's got 4 points. As we move into a round called Name That Tube. Last week, the first official Marvel Studios TV series debuted on Disney Plus. It's called WandaVision. I hear it's great. It's a surreal, mysterious story about the Scarlet Witch and Vision, I guess living within a sitcom. It pays homage to the look and the feel of classic sitcoms with its visuals and its writing. I have never sat through an entire Avengers movie, so I'm afraid of it. But today, we are going to revisit a few of those old sitcoms ourselves through their iconic theme songs. So we're going to play you a series of clips, classic sitcom themes. You buzz in with your buzz-in word, face, and noonie when you recognize it, and let us know what it is. It truly is that simple. After the last two rounds, I know you don't trust me, but believe me, it is that simple. Okay, one of you may have an advantage in question number one.
Face.
Noonie.
Orlando.
Lucille. The Lucille Ball Show.
Lucille. What was I Love Lucy, but I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. I Love Lucy. All right, number 2.
Oh, believe it or not, I'm walking on air. Da, 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 da. Ah,
Is it Days of Our Lives?
It's not Days of Our Lives, I'm afraid. Orlando?
The guy's a hero. He doesn't know how to fly. I can't think of the name.
Well, it was Greatest American Hero, but it actually wasn't. It was Growing Pains.
It was?
All right.
Wow. I wonder if that composer also composed the Greatest American Hero.
I mean, they do sound nothing alike when you think of it. Are you in Los Angeles, Orlando?
Yes.
So Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains is like Public Enemy number one right now. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but he's been having anti-mask rallies at malls.
Oh, yes, man. Yes.
He was so cool in Growing Pains, but it's, sometimes you go down the wrong algorithm and you end up at a mall with no mask. I knew you were an actor. Didn't know you were a doctor, bud.
Didn't know you were a doctor. Theme tune number three.
I Dream of Jean.
Yes, Orlando, you got it. It was I Dream of
Jean. I knew that one too.
Well, but you didn't say it, Holly. You have to say it. That's how we know.
You're right, Dave. You're right.
That's how we know. All right. Theme, tune, number, four.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for
space. Different strokes.
Different strokes. And you know what? For 5 bonus points, just for the hell of it, can you spell the name of the show as it appeared?
Different Strokes?
Yeah.
Yes.
D-I-F-F-E-R-E-N-T.
Holly, sit down. Ding. No. It was D-I-F-F apostrophe R-E-N-T.
Oh,
because you see, they were in a hurry. They were in a rush. They couldn't pronounce that silent E.
Of course they couldn't. They were putting apostrophes all over the joint then. Oh, no.
That's what you did.
That's the word.
That's what you did back in the 80s.
That should have been cancelled on the first ep.
All right. Theme tune number 5.
Such a sweet insanity. The more you learn, the less you know. In the heart of every family.
Unmistakable voice of Roberta Flack singing the theme song.
Yeah.
Now I will say,
man,
this show changed its name a lot.
She's got short brown hair, and she's got a long coat on, and it's the 70s, and it's called Mandy or Mindy or Pimpy or Poopy.
Oh no, are you thinking Mary Tyler Moore?
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of Mary Tyler. No, I'm not thinking of Mary. I'm not thinking of Mary Tyler Moore because that's different. But what's this one called?
This one started as Valerie, then became Valerie's Family, then became the Hogan Family.
They weren't consistent. How am I supposed to stick with a show that doesn't respect me trying to keep track of things?
Doesn't respect you. Doesn't respect Valerie Harper.
Yeah,
disrespectful all the way around. All right, next theme tune.
This is all Holly. Holly should know this.
Come on, Holly.
If it's not the Perry Mason theme tune, I'm out.
No, well, it isn't. Fuck was that, Holly?
It was the Perry Mason theme tune.
I don't think it was. I really don't think it was. I really don't think it was at all. It sounded like something that like a bumbling elephant would be doing something on a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Well, he was a big guy. He was a big guy.
That's true. That's a sensitive issue. That was The Odd Couple. The Odd Couple.
Nah.
All right. Our next theme song. I keep wanting to say theme tune and theme song at the same time, and it comes out theme soon.
What are kids scared at night of?
Dark! The dark!
And what else?
Scooby-Doo! Wet in their pants!
No, they're scared in the dark. They come out of them. They come out of the closet.
The gays.
Yes. That was, of course, the theme song to the classic 60s sitcom, The Gays. No, Orlando, you seem to know it.
Yes.
You're a very giving person. Take it. So take this point. You need it.
Oh, the monsters.
I'm going to give it to you, Orlando. It was the monsters.
Yeah. This is going terribly. All right. Thank you. Terribly.
All right. Thank you for giving me that point. I did mean it. English.
I knew. I felt it.
Thank you, Orlando, for helping me, even when you couldn't help yourself.
All right, thank you, Holly.
It's a lovely part of the pandemic when someone who's helpless helps somebody else who's helpless too.
You know, I'm trying to
And they get nowhere together.
I'm trying to be my better me till we can
You're
go back
trying
out
to be your world. Ernie Hudson, aren't you?
I am.
We started this show with inspiration and it's carried us through. All right, our next theme song.
Wings.
Holy shit. The hardest one of the bunch by a mile, and you got it.
I wanted to be a pilot when I was a kid. Used to watch
Is
this
it true?
Show. Yeah.
I mean, you're still young.
No, I failed the test. The only the Army and the Marines wanted me. The Navy and the Air Force wouldn't even take me to breakfast.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Did you go and join the Army and the Marines?
The Army and the Navy recruiters, they would come and pick me up from school, and they would take me to breakfast at Shoney's. This is in South Florida by the Miami International Airport. And they were like, Orlando, you're about to graduate. We got your scores. You know, what would you like to do? And I was like, I want to be a pilot. And they were like, no, you can't be a pilot. You didn't test high enough to be a pilot. And then I was like, oh, okay, can I be the guy who sits next to the pilot? And they were like, no, also a pilot. You can't be a co-pilot.
Oh, Orlando.
But the thing is, I always think that that's why loads of famous people die early. It's because they all drive their own planes and they all crash them. Like the only person who's gotten away with it so far is Calista Flockhart's husband.
You're absolutely right that a lot of famous people are like, I was funny on that show, so I can fly a plane.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, honey.
Yeah.
Okay. Our final theme tune is this one.
The Dick Van Dyke Show. Starring Dick Van Dyke.
Noonie.
Buzz in. Yes.
I think it's Dick Van Dyke Show.
You're absolutely
starring
right.
Dick Van Dyke. Starring Dick Van Dyke from Mary Poppins.
And Mary Tyler Moore.
And Mary Tyler Moore. Orlando, I feel like I should give that point to Orlando because he was so gracious in defeat. And
he literally handed it right to you.
With his hand.
It's great. No,
but
no.
Let me tell you this, Holly. He didn't need it. Yeah. Face has won 9-6.
I just feel as Americans, and after the years that we've had with the rest of the world, we should be reaching out and say, hey, we're still nice people. You know?
Yeah, we should be cultivating our special relationship.
We need to cultivate. Right.
Yeah,
we need to re-nurture. We're nurturing our relationship.
Because nobody else is going to nurture us soon. You know that we're going to be ostracized from the rest of the world. So if we're going to nurture the special relationship, I am down with that.
Congratulations, Orlando. You are our winner. It comes with a never-ending pasta pass.
Nice.
That's not true.
Love pasta.
It's not true at all. I wish it were true. All right. It is now time for our famed end-of-show plugs. Tell us what you're working on, and then to write the karmic balance in the universe, something that you love that somebody else did that you want to bring the world's attention to. Orlando, we will start with you.
Something that I'm working on right now, I've had the wonderful blessing that my comedy special, Adorable, has been uploaded to HBO Max. So if you go to HBO Max, my comedy special, Adorable, is on HBO Max. And also, Adorable, the audio album, or LP, is streaming on all the streaming networks, Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, Google Music, and even Napster. Napster's still out there, people.
Great.
What?
I love it. Well done. HBO Max. And then something someone else did that you're loving.
Something that I'm loving that Dave Holmes introduced me to Ernie Hudson. Oh, I am 100% loving yeah. that. I'm not just gassing you up. I'm not blowing smoke up your bum. I am telling you 100%. I am loving that you reintroduced me to Ernie Hudson, and I can't wait till this interview goes out there.
I know. I'm telling you, it's going to be, you're going to feel it. You're going to know about it. You're going to it's going to be seismic.
Yeah.
It's going to, you're going to feel the drop of it.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you. Holly Byrne, what you got?
Hi. Well, the pandemic has rather slowed things down thus far. So I was meant to be filming a web series that I've written, but that's not happening. That's been had to be shifted numerous times. So we're hoping to film it in the end of March when things settle down again. So if you wouldn't mind looking out for that in a few months' time, and just keep an eye on things that I'm doing, a podcast and a new YouTube thing, but it's all sort of in the on the offing. If you just go to Holly Byrne Comedy on any of the platforms, or you can watch my special, which is on Amazon Prime, and it's on BritBox as well, if you have that. I suppose
it's on BritBox?
I think it's on BritBox, yeah. Yeah, it's on you have BritBox, do you? Do you pay for it?
Yeah, I gotta watch my Coronation Street.
Do you pay for it?
Do you think I'm kidding?
You really?
Holly Byrne, I'm not fucking kidding.
Amazing, absolutely. It's on BritBox, absolutely. And then what I would say, and or just go keep to my socials on Instagram and all the other ones, Twitter. And then I would say for my karma, I would say I just love an act called Dina Martina, who is, yeah, you're right.
That was a real gasp.
Do you know him?
I never miss her when she's in LA. She's the greatest.
The greatest thing. And I honestly think sometimes comedy is too comedy. Do you know what I mean? And it's too, and you need something outside of comedy to be truly funny. And I think Dina Martina is drag and more performance arty maybe, rather than being in the comedy, part of the comedy circuit, as it were, is more cabaret, I would think. Do you know what, is that right? Is that correct, mm-hmm. do you think?
Yeah,
but I just think it's the funniest, most incredible, unique, I find her amazing. And I'd say one of the videos where she's in a lift, where she's doing a sort of like an infomercial about her daughter going to college, is one of the greatest things put on the small screen.
Yeah, I agree. Dina Martina, check her out on YouTube. If she is coming to your town, you must see
her. Yeah, you must see her live.
She's doing
incredible.
Some streaming shows. She did a streaming holiday show that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. She is an American treasure.
And just the J and the G situation. The J and the G situation.
She transposes her J's and her G's. You got to see it.
Effortlessly.
It'll make sense when you do. Oh, my God. I am Dave Holmes. My book, Party of One, is available where books are sold. And I would like to recommend the British soap opera, Coronation Street, which can be found on BritBox, especially now that Yasmin is out of prison and Jeff has fallen off the roof.
Oh, my God.
I don't need to bother with him anymore. I'm worried about Faye. But I'm always worried about Faye, especially with Anna off the cobbles for now. But you know what? I think she's going to find her way. She will. She's a smart young woman. Holly Byrne, Orlando Leyva, thank you so much. You there with the headphones. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to Troubled Waters with me, Dave Holmes. With us, we're Holly Byrne. Make a noise.
Bye.
Ooh, I didn't like that one. And Orlando Leyva.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey. Our theme music is USA versus White Noise by Ladytron. Thank you to them for letting us use it. The script was written by Riley Silverman and Sea Shanty Songwriter of the Year, John Luke Roberts. Our producers are Laura Swisher and Christian Duenas.
Woo!
Woo! And we all love you. Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.